Welcome to a podcast from Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Well, it's good to be back. We were away on holidays last week, and spent a lot of time with a couple of our three of our grandkids, and so had hung out with them and our kids as well. So, but we're back this week, and we're into Colossians 3, and we're going to spend. Pastor Brent walked us through part of Colossians 3 a couple of weeks ago. I introduced Colossians 3. This is such a key passage, such a vital passage for understanding who we are in Christ and how we live this thing we call the Christian life and how it transforms us, how it changes us. In fact, I was reading a couple of different books unrelated to preparing for this message this morning, and both of those books reference the opening verses of Colossians chapter 3. So let's dig into it. Let me read these opening verses. I want to read from the message. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of life, that way of death, sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Let's pray as we dig into the Word. Father, I thank you for your presence with us this morning. The sense of the beauty of your love and your grace that envelops us. I pray, Lord, for everyone who's gathered here in this auditorium this morning and for those who will listen to the message online later, that you would take these words and give it your power to do what my words can never do. And that is to change hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts to receive your word deeply. And Father, as we pray, I want to come against anything that would be obstructing your word. Any part of us that would say no to it and put a wall up and want to rule it out because it's too great, it's too beautiful. We come against that. And we pray for one another in Jesus' name that our defenses would be lowered so we can receive and see and be impacted. Be transformed by the truth of who you are and the truth of who we are because of Jesus. And we pray this in His name. Amen. So these opening verses of Colossians 3 are powerful verses. And in these verses, we really have the whole structure of God's kingdom. We have the essence of our identity, of who we are. We have the essence of what it means to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You find all of that here in these opening verses of Colossians 3. They're powerful. A couple of weeks ago, I entitled the message, The Beautifully Bizarre Entangled You. The beautifully bizarre entangled you. And we looked at how we often look at our world as kind of ordinary. It's a common sense, blah type place. And we're not very impressed by it. Everything's just normal. It's just ordinary. It just happens. It's, in some senses, even kind of boring. And then we looked at really some of the bizarreness of our world and all these neurons that are popping around in our brain with trillions of synaptic connections and light going into our eyes and sound waves going into our ears that causes us to react in a certain way and respond so you can see me and hear me. And we looked at all these subatomic particles that are really just tiny bursts of energy. And so many different types, and they interact with one another in so many different ways. And all of these interactions everything from the microscopic, from the subatomic level, to the atomic, to the plant, to the person, to the earth, to the solar system, to the galaxy, to the universe. And we're swimming in this gigantic sea of mystery that's unfathomable. It's just impenetrable mystery. And every square millimeter around us, every second is impenetrable mystery. It's beautiful. It's bizarre. It's amazing. But we get tired. And we just sort of look at our world and we think, yeah, that stuff happens. And we take it all for granted. It's common. It's ordinary. It's normal. And what we call ordinary is really the label we slap on this infinite sea of mystery when we're just sort of half awake. And what we call normal is what happens when you delete out the mystery and delete out all the beauty and delete out all of the incredible way God's created this place. And it's all just really a shadow of the real reality that's around us. And the same thing is true of you and I. Sometimes we drift through life. We coast. And we fail to see how intricately God has made us. You know, there's a passage in the Psalms that talks about us being fearfully and wonderfully made, and all the interconnections between the various systems within our bodies, and the incredible wisdom that God enables surgeons and researchers to figure out what's going on in little Rosalie's body so that they can do a heart transplant and try to figure out what's happening in someone else's heart, someone else's mind, or somebody else's body, and the things that are going on. And so what we see on the surface is often just a fraction of who we really are. We talked a little bit about the Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen paradox, these things called entangled particles, where scientists have discovered that if you take these two particles, and no matter how far apart you spread them, they do the same thing. So you put a twist on this particle over here, you go a light year away, and you put a twist on this particle, and it does the same thing. Because they are entangled, they're connected. They function like one particle, even though they're a long distance apart. In other words, it's bizarre. It's amazing. It's incredible. How that happens, we don't know, because those particles are entangled. They act like one, even though they're far apart. Our world is bizarre and beautiful and mysterious. And that's really what Colossians 3 is saying. So let's go back to the beginning. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. You know, we do that with Scripture. You know, we've read it, particularly if you've been a believer for a number of years. You've read these verses. And so, yeah, okay. Ho-hum. But if we allow them to speak to us. You know, that's what Michael Frost in the video we watched during the offertory was talking about. In terms of creating space so we can listen to the Holy Spirit. Hear what He's really saying to us. And so let's allow God's word to impress us. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. You know, think about that. You've been raised with Christ. Therefore, He says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that's short form for saying the power position of God. You're seated in the power position of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. I'm dead. Yeah, you died. And now your life, you know, I thought you said I was dead. You did, but now your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, appears, so we're dead, we're alive, Christ is my life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. And glory is simply what happens when you take away everything that obstructs that view of God. That glory now, allow the beauty and the radiance and the majesty and the wonder of who Jesus is to shine forth, and we shine with Him. But right now, it's like we're in the fog of war and things are concealed. But someday it's all going to be manifest. And so Paul writes, put to death, therefore, in light of everything he's just said, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he's not talking just about our physical bodies. Some of your translations will use the word flesh here. He's talking about the false way that we buy into and looking at the world. The false way of looking at ourselves. The flesh covers all the lies that we believe. He says, put it away. Put away all those behaviors that flow out of those lies. Whether it's sexual immorality or impurity or lust or evil desires or greed, which is idolatry. Paul will expand on that list down a couple of verses later in verse 8. Rid yourself of all things such as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Paul says this stuff, this junk, this garbage. He has a similar list in Philippians, and he calls it all manure, dung. He says it's useless, it's worthless. Those things reflect how you used to live, but they're no longer true of you. So throw them away, because now your life is entangled with Jesus. And so these verses capture the essence of what kingdom is all about. The essence of who we are. The essence of what it means to be transformed, to be changed, so that our lives reflect the life of Jesus. You see, the way that the New Testament often operates is it tells us the truth. It says, here's what's truth. It says, set your mind on that which is true. Set your heart on that truth. And once your heart and your mind are lined up with that truth, then you can get your behavior to line up with what your heart and your mind believes is true. That's the New Testament. That's the kingdom way. But the ordinary, the normal, the common sense way of doing ethics, of living life is so different than that, isn't it? The normal way that our world does ethics is, or want to practice a discipline or a rule, is you engage in a behavior you want to practice or a mental discipline you want to practice in order to become a better person. So you work hard at this so I become better. You want to become a better person so I start doing something I'm not doing right now. That's the normal way that our world does ethics. But the New Testament, that's the complete opposite. Everything in the kingdom of God is upside down, or I would argue it's right side up. Everything is beautifully bizarre. The way New Testament does it is we gauge in those mental, whether those disciplines or those mental disciplines or behavioral disciplines, doing good deeds, whatever. We do them not to become something that we're not already. We do them because we already are. We don't become something. We get everything up front when you come to Jesus, when you're united with Jesus. In some sense, that we don't understand, we are entangled with Jesus. And so we're getting our thinking to line up with what is true, and getting our heart to line up with what is true, and then getting our behavior to line up with that. We're not trying to acquire anything, not trying to earn anything. We're learning to shut off the lies. Again, as Michael Frost said in that video, you got to block out the time to listen to God's Spirit. And then we begin to manifest, to live out what is truth. Let me unpack this a little bit more. There's a variety of tenses that Paul uses in these opening verses. See, there's the past tense. He says, we have died with Christ. And we were raised with Christ. He says that's happened in the past. Those are things in the past tense. And that past reality, he says, creates a present reality. He says our life is currently now hidden with Christ. And Christ is our life. This is true of you now if you're a follower of Jesus. We are now hidden with Christ. And that will create a future reality, and that is we will appear with Christ in glory. And everything that obstructs the truth, everything that blocks the shininess of God's truth is gone. And when we appear with Christ in glory, because of that past reality and the present reality and the future reality, Paul says we need to set our hearts on things above. Need to set our minds on things above. And out of that, we act accordingly. When our hearts and our minds are line up with the truth, then we can put off a behavior that doesn't conform to the truth. And that's what kingdom living is about. In some sense, we're entangled with Christ in the same way those two particles were entangled. We are entangled with Christ. And so what happens to him happens to us. And what happens to us happens to him, even though he lived on this earth some 2,000 years ago. And what happened to us, and what happened to us that happened to him, is that we sinned. And the wages of sin is death. And so some 2,000 years ago, Christ bore our sin. He suffered the punishment that we deserved, the death that we deserved. And he took it to the grave and he left it in the grave and he put to death death. And somehow, because of our entanglement with Christ, our sin is gone. And what that means is our old self, what the Bible calls the old self, is dead. That old self, that old part, every part of you that doesn't conform to the character of God, that old self is dead. That petty self has been dead for 2,000 years. That addicted self has been dead. That cheating self is dead. That lying self is dead. That jealous self, that self that doesn't trust, that self that's full of fear, that self that's full of worry and anxiety, that self that just craves sin, it's dead. Jesus said, I killed it. It's dead at the cross. Now maybe you're saying, but Pastor Mike, I'm only 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever. How my common sense tells me I was only born X number of years ago. How can I possibly be entangled? If you're surrendered to Jesus, Scripture says you're entangled with him. What happens to you happens to him. And so he takes your sin and he applies it to his death on the cross. And your own self is dead. It's a carcass. And you're thinking, yeah, I don't really feel that dead. I don't feel like a carcass. I sin quite easily, thank you very much. I'm still under this power. I'm still addicted. I still feel jealousy arise. I still petty at times. I have worries. I have anxieties. But you see, that's a shadow. That's a shadow of the reality. It doesn't tell the whole story. It only tells a fraction of the story. But we get locked in to that small piece. That boring, ordinary piece. And we don't see the big picture, the whole picture. And the way we begin to experience the deadness of our old dead self is by affirming the reality, the beautifully bizarre and tangled reality that we are one with Christ. And we don't let the ordinary view tell the whole story. We lock it in. We lock in the truth that Jesus said, that God's Word says. You're a new person. You're alive in Christ. And the love that the Father has for Jesus is the love that the Father has for you. That's why I often say that you can't possibly be more loved than you are right now. The infiniteness of God's love that defines him is directed towards you because it's directed towards Jesus and you're entangled with Jesus. And so resurrection life means that his position becomes your position. His joy becomes your joy. His fullness of life becomes your fullness of life. His peace becomes your peace. His confidence becomes your confidence. His character becomes your character. And that's why Paul says in Romans 8, he says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love. We are secure in Christ. Now, Paul says, those things can happen to you. Paul presupposes that this stuff happens. Christians now and then are like any other people. We face famine and perils. And we face dangers like everyone else. Christians get killed just like anyone else does. Tragedies happen to us. But you see, the one thing that matters most, the real you that's entangled with Jesus, that's untouchable. Yeah, robbers can steal your home. Thieves can steal all of your savings. Murderers can take your life. But no one can touch your union with God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, time can take away your youth, and sickness and disease can ravish your body. All sorts of things can take away our health, but nothing, absolutely nothing, can touch our union with Christ. You know, Alzheimer's can take away your memory, and accidents can sometimes change a person's personality, and sometimes our sheer stupidity can make us lose our reputations, but nothing can touch your union with Christ. The love of God in Christ Jesus. It's secure. It's stable. It's steadfast. The powers of hell cannot touch it. It's locked in the vault that is God. He's our fortress. And that's where we are. And if you put all your eggs in that basket, all of your worth, all of your identity, and you just enjoy everything else with open arms, you have a peace that passes understanding. It's when we try to cling to stuff that we're not supposed to cling to that we begin to lose. Because we're putting our value, we're putting our worth, we're putting our identity in stuff that can be taken away from us. Stuff that can fade away. The kingdom of God is not going to conform to common sense, because it's not common. It's unique. It's beautiful. And so our job is to not give authority to common sense, but to embrace the bizarreness. Is that a word? The bizarreness of God and of who we are in Him. The beauty of our entanglement with Christ. And rest in that and relax in that and see that our life is tied up with Him. Get our mind and our hearts to line up with the truth. Or as Paul says, to set our mind and our heart on things above. Set our heart on things above. Set our mind on things above. That word set, and so the word zeto in the Greek, means to resolve. It means to fix, to be resolute, to pursue. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle that tells us to cultivate, to set, to fix our minds, our heart, always on the truth. Always on the wonders of who God is. The truth that God declares about our intimacy, our connection, our entanglement with Jesus. Doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to what's going on in the world. Again, go back to what Michael Frost says. You know, it's not a case of living in isolation away from the world, or so immersed in our world that we just look like everybody else. But living in that tension zone, living in between. So we speak the truth of God, and we live the truth of God in the midst of the world. That's what really faith is all about, isn't it? Hebrews 11 says, faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is having in our mind a substantial reality. Not stuff that we make up, but rooted in Jesus. Faith isn't just something we make up on our own, but it's rooted in God's Word and what God's Word says about Jesus. You know, one way of looking at this is we're all movie producers in our minds. We've got these movies running through our heads all the time. And those movies, those images, that soundtrack, all that stuff is about how we think, about how we interpret the world, and how we assess the direction of our life. And so whatever movies you're running, that's going to shape your life and reflect how you live. So Paul says, set your mind and your heart on things above. Envision as concrete reality what is true. That creates a conviction in your heart. And you set your heart on things above. And that sets your behavior in a certain direction. You're like a movie producer. You're producing this vision. And so you see, the old self is dead, so you see it as dead. The new self in Christ is risen, so you see it as risen. You're filled with His joy, so you see yourself filled with joy. You're filled with His peace, and so you see yourself filled with peace. We get our minds to line up with what is true. And you don't have that old, that ordinary, that common sense, that kind of boring brain of yours saying, nah, that can't possibly be true. That's too beautiful to be true. It's too majestic. It's poppycock. Whatever. It's just too much. No, we call it out. We call it out and we set it aside and say, no, I set my mind on what is true. We run movies of that. We flush out all the things in our lives. We run the movies of stuff that's true about who Jesus says we are. We set aside the stuff that's not true. You know, if we're not doing that in our thinking, if we're not doing that in our mind, I guarantee you won't be doing that in any consistent way in your life. We get so screwed up when we try to live a life without changing our thought patterns. And so I want to end this morning by taking you to a little exercise. It's only going to take a few minutes. And here he is. I want you to ask a question. What would I look like if I was living as a virgin of Jesus Christ right here, right now? What would I be thinking? What would I be living like? What would I be feeling? Because that's who you are. You're a version of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive in you. You are entangled with Him. And see, we begin to reflect on that. You know, think about your week. You know, would Jesus be irritated about some of the things you were irritated about? Would Jesus maybe have a different sense of proportion about some of the things that were going on? Maybe he had set different values on some of those things that you had as a high priority. Maybe he had let go of some things a little more readily than you did. And so I run a movie of what I would look like if I was in fact the Michael Bell's version of Jesus. Because that's what I am. He's living in me. I'm not becoming something I'm not. I'm simply getting my mind lined up with what is already true. And as we see that, it creates a yes in us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The conviction, I get that conviction of things not seen. And that begins to change my attitude. It changes my behavior. And we become more kingdom-minded than I was before. Not that we're getting more kingdom than we had before, but we're manifesting it more. And so here's what I want us to do. We're going to do this little exercise. It won't take long. Think about a time this week when you were least Christ-like. A time this week when you were least Christ-like. Now, some of you are really super spiritual ones. You may have to go back 2 weeks. Was there ever a time when you weren't acting very Christ-like? You got something in your mind. I'm not going to ask you to share it with anybody or do anything like that. But I want you to think about that for a moment. And however that works best for you. If you have need to close your eyes and you visualize that or you hear it, whatever. Remember where you blew it. Where your attitude was bad. Where you exploded at somebody, you yelled, you slammed on the horn on somebody, you wrote that nasty Facebook post or comment. You know, so get that picture. You're thinking about that situation. Now ask the question, what would that look like if Jesus was me in that situation? What would I look like if I was a version of Jesus, because in fact you are. Now run that movie. Run that same memory. But now you're doing and thinking and feeling what Jesus would think and feel and act. And as you're running that, there's part of your brain that's going, no way. No way, it's dumb. Not true. It doesn't make any sense. It's poppycock. And when you hear that, just say to yourself, that's part of my damaged brain. That's part of me that's dead. And you put it aside. And then as you're watching the you that is a version of Jesus, your spirit says yes to that. That's the real me. That's the real me. That's the Jesus living in and through me. And as a kingdom person, you'll have this in the core of your being. You're recognizing yourself there. This is really me. This is the confidence of Hebrews 11. And so you affirm that. And you lock that in. And let me encourage you to do that. Do it a lot. Like every day. Like several times a day. In fact, if you did it all the time, it wouldn't be too much. Because we're habitually running the false tapes. We have an enemy who keeps uploading them. And we need to intentionally come against it to run the true tapes. That's what it means to set our mind on things above. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 10. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take every thought captive. We bring it in line with what God's word says about who you are. So let me challenge you to this week, every day, 2, 3, 4, however times it takes, to think about the true you. And think about the Jesus in you in those situations. Think about the true you in those situations where you're the least true you. And to run those movies. And it's really helpful when you know there's something coming up. When there's something that's going to tick you off, there's something that's going to just drive you absolutely crazy, something that's going to trigger you, something that's going to make you angry, to preview it, and to review it, and to rehearse it, and to be in prayer, envisioning this is what Jesus would look like in this situation. And that prepares you for it. And watch how that changes things. And just change the attitude, the direction of your life, because you've begun to set your mind on heavenly things, on the things above, not on earthly things. You're starting to set your focus on God's things, not just what I want. And that determines the shape and the direction of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, you're beautiful. And the world you created is outrageously beautiful. And you've made us to be bizarrely beautiful. You've entangled us with Jesus. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you keep reminding us day in and day out to run the right movies, the true movies, to see and to sense and to move and to feel in the direction of who we are in and because of Jesus. Remind us that we are truly in Him, and enable us to put on display that bizarrely beautiful, true, entangled self that we have in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite the
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.